The study this month has been on prayer and preparation. How many here have enjoyed it? Prayer and preparation. And how many here know tonight that God wants you prepared to be a shining light in a dark world? God wants you prepared to be a shining light in a dark world. He wants you to demonstrate the love of Christ to those around you. And so tonight's message is building an altar and calling on the Lord. Building an altar and calling on the Lord. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 8. The call of Abraham, Abram. The Lord had said to Abram in verse 1, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Verse 6. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Verse 8. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. All right. We're going to focus on verse 8 here tonight from Genesis chapter 12. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Now, let's do a little bit of a historical study here for a minute. An altar in Scripture in the Old Testament, what did it represent? An altar in Scripture indicated approach to God or communion with God. And the altar was often the place of sacrifice. So the altar represented communion, approach to the Almighty God. So in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, who's the sacrifice? Who's the sacrifice? Abraham in the Old Testament here sacrificed on this altar. He built an altar. In the New Testament, who is the sacrifice? Jesus Christ, Hebrews 9:26, was sacrificed up on the altar called the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Is that good news? In this new covenant, remember this, the altar was the cross of Calvary and the sacrifice was Jesus Christ. And by his sacrifice on that altar called the cross 2,000 years ago, we now have what with God? We now have reconciliation with God, fellowship, friendship with the Creator of heaven and of earth. Does that make sense? Turn to 2 Corinthians. You got a Bible? And let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. 2 Corinthians 5, famous passage. And it says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Remember, God placed Adam in the garden, right? The man in the garden. Okay, and he said to him, he said, "You can eat of any tree in the garden, but I do not want you eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." And so the tempter, the enemy, came to the woman in Genesis chapter 3 and tempted her to eat of the fruit of the tree. She ate, she gave some to her husband, and at that point sin entered the world. Sin entered the world. And they were separated from God's presence. They were banished from the Garden of Eden. And that separation from God was passed on from generation to generation. But guess what? Jesus Christ came to do what? To bridge the great divide so that man could again have fellowship, friendship, and reconciliation with the Almighty God by His sacrifice on that cross 2,000 years ago. That's good news, right? Could you say amen? All right. So, we see that Abraham in Genesis 12:8 built an altar and he called on the Lord. This next set of words, called on the Lord, is very significant. The Hebrew and the Greek term for call used with the word on in terms of salvation, to call on, is best understood as an expression of faith made with one's will and focused in a particular direction. What direction is this? The direction is Jesus Christ, accepting Him as Savior and God. So when Abraham called on the Lord in Genesis 12:8, what did it signify? It expressed his what? When Abraham built an altar and called on the Lord, his calling on the Lord expressed what? It expressed his faith in God, his communion and relationship with the Maker of heaven and earth. That's good news, right? In the New Covenant, in the New Testament, you may say that you have called on the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul writes, whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Romans chapter 10. And so you might be saying today, well, I've called on the name of Jesus. I've got faith in Jesus Christ. And a lot of people say it. I've got faith in Christ. But you know, there's a saying out there that says this, that talk is cheap. What does it mean that you've got faith in Christ? How do we show those around us that we have a true and living relationship with the Christ that we claim to have faith in? How do we live as children of the light? Let me ask you that again. You might say, I've got faith in Christ. I've called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, like Abraham called on the Lord in Genesis 12:8. But how do you show the people around you, the people you associate with, the people that you live with, that you have got a living relationship with the Christ that you have called upon? How do we show those around us that we are truly children of the light? Are you following me tonight? Are you with me tonight? By constructing a modern-day altar, figuratively, like Abraham made an altar. We show those around us that we've got true faith in Christ by constructing a modern-day altar. And this altar is not concrete. It's not something that you can see. It's not like a pile of stones or rocks. This modern-day altar is what? It's actions and deeds, things that we do and say. And you might be asking tonight now, okay, Jonathan, I understand I'm supposed to construct a modern day altar, figuratively. But what's to be sacrificed upon this altar? Anybody here have any ideas? What's to be sacrificed upon this modern day altar to show others that we have a true and living relationship with Jesus Christ? What's to be sacrificed on this modern day spiritual altar? Anybody have any ideas out there? What's to be sacrificed on this altar? It's a four-letter word. It's a four-letter word. S-E-L-F. Self. Self and selfishness are to be sacrificed upon this modern day altar. Did you know that self and selfishness could be the biggest hindrance to your communion and fellowship with the Almighty God? In God's Word it says, God says, I am holy. Be ye therefore holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. And did you know what? Self, a lot of times, this four-letter word, S-E-L-F, a lot of times wants to do a lot of unholy things. And a lack of holiness Sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. Is that making sense here tonight? God is light. God is holy. Sin cannot stand in the presence of holy God for even a millisecond in time. The comparison is darkness and light. Imagine that this room is pitch dark at 12 o'clock midnight. All right? It's dark. You're stumbling. And then you hit the switch and the light comes on. When the light comes on, the darkness is immediately expelled. Why? Because darkness cannot stand in the presence of light. Is that making sense? In the same way, sin and selfishness cannot stand in the presence of a holy and righteous God. So we're to live lives. We're to strive to be holy with God's grace as God is holy. Is that making sense? So tonight, I want to talk to you about sacrificing self on the altar of God. Turn to Romans chapter 12, if you got a Bible. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it says this. Paul talks about sacrificing self here. He says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So he's writing to us that we need to offer up our bodies as what? As living sacrifices on this modern day altar that I was talking about. We're not to conform anymore to the world's pattern of living and thinking, because the way the world thinks and lives is sinful, unholy, and selfish. But we serve what? We serve a righteous and a holy God. Amen? Is that making sense here tonight? So let's talk about sacrificing self on the altar of God. You know, self wants to pop its ugly head at times in your life and tell you to do what is evil and unholy with your body and eyes. You know, you might have had a problem with drinking and getting drunk, doing what's unholy with your body, getting drunk, or maybe with drugs, getting high, or maybe with your eyes looking at something you should not have been looking at. Let me ask you this tonight. When your body, when self wants your body to do what is unholy, how do you sacrifice that? How do you sacrifice self on this altar of God so that you could be more holy like God is holy? How do you do it? How do you put it to death so that you don't do with your body what is unholy? How do you put it to death? For instance, if you've got a group of people that are drinking and you've had a weakness with drinking and you just want that one glass of beer and then it becomes two and three and four, what do you need to do to put self to death? When you see that group drinking and you're tempted to go and drink with them, turn your head and walk the other way. That's putting death to self, right? Is that making sense here tonight? All right. It's the same thing with drugs, or maybe looking at something with your eyes that you should not be looking at. Maybe there's people making dirty jokes, looking at things in a newspaper on the internet that they shouldn't be looking at, and they're inviting you to look on with them. If you look on with them, you're doing what is unholy, friends. And you can't have communion with a holy God if you're doing what is unrighteous and unholy. So how do you sacrifice self in that instance? Somebody invites you in to look at something that's not right. What do? You say, no, thank you. You turn your head and you walk away. That is sacrificing self on this altar of the Almighty God. Is that making sense here tonight? All right. Now, self popping its ugly head in your life might at times tell you to think unholy thoughts. Thoughts of revenge. Thoughts of retaliation. Thoughts of me, myself, and I. Now with our minds, self would want you to do what is unholy with your mind. Say that somebody offends you. They lie about you. They demean you. They tarnish your reputation with your boss. And you're so angry and upset on the inside. And the first natural thought that comes to your mind is, man, I want to retaliate against him. I want to get revenge on this person for tarnishing my reputation. Self would want you to do that, right? With your mind. Selfishness would want you to get retaliation. But how do you sacrifice self on the altar of God in this instance? How do you sacrifice it? Instead of getting revenge and retaliation, what do? You cry out to God and say, God, I can't do it on my own, but God, I pray that you give me the strength to forgive my offender. And even though everything on the inside of you wants to get even with the person who's insulted you, you forgive them anyway. And that forgiveness is an act of sacrificing self on this altar. Is that making sense here tonight? Sacrificing self in every part of our being. With your mind, self would want you to think, me, myself, and I. I've got to step on other people to climb a ladder at work, at school, wherever it might be. But how do you sacrifice self in this instance? Instead of thinking about stepping on other people, what do you think? How can I reach out to touch somebody with the love of God who is needier than myself? Are you getting the picture here tonight? All right. Self popping its ugly head might tell you to speak some unholy words with your mouth. Say that you're walking around, barefooted, for instance, and you stub your big toe on a piece of furniture. For a lot of people, the first thing that wants to pop out of their mouth is a four-letter term, right? A four-letter word. You know what I'm talking about, right? We're not going to say it here tonight, but it's a four-letter word that would want to pop out when you stub your toe. Is that making sense? How do you sacrifice selfishness in your words? How do you put self on the altar of sacrifice concerning what comes out of your mouth? When that four-letter word wants to come out, instead, what do? You clip your lip. Don't speak it. Paul writes about it in Ephesians chapter 4. What does he write in Ephesians chapter 4? This is what he says in verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Is that making sense? You know, when Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago, the only words that came out of his mouth were what? They were pure words, holy words, righteous words, peaceful words, words that built and edified other people, words of healing. Is that making sense? So when your mouth wants to speak something that's unholy, unchristlike, instead of speaking that word, you just keep your mouth closed and don't say anything. Say praise God instead. Is that making sense here tonight? All right, self in the spiritual realm. You know, at times with your spirit man, self might want to pop its ugly head. How many here like to know about what their future holds? All right. A lot of people, what they'll do is they'll get so focused on themselves and like, man, I want to know what the next 2 years holds in my life. So they go to astrologers and palm readers and fortune tellers. I've even heard a Christian one time say that, you know, God could speak to you through a horoscope. That's blasphemous, isn't it? Don't you think? I tell you, friends, if you open up your spirit to fortune tellers, astrologers, and palm readers, you are opening up your spirit man to the unholy, and the devil will wreak havoc in your life. So when self wants to go to an astrologer or a palm reader, instead of doing it, you do what? You say, no, I'm not going to do it. God, give me the strength. Instead, God, I am turning to you. God, you tell me about my future. You open up your spirit to hearing from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Is that making sense here tonight? Saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I'm weak in myself. I want to go consult a horoscope or a fortune teller. But God, give me the strength to turn away and not do this. And I guarantee that if you pray to God, God will answer your prayer. And God will say, no, you don't have to go to them. I'll speak to you directly by my spirit and my word concerning your future. Is that making sense here tonight? That's sacrificing self on the altar of God. Making sense? So if we want closer communion with a holy God, we've got to build this altar. And on this altar, we've got to sacrifice self in spirit, mind, body, words, what we do with our money, our relationships, in every part of our existence. Finally, Hebrews chapter 12. This is what he writes. Hebrews chapter 12. The writer writes this, verse 14. He says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Guys, this is straight from the scripture. Make every effort. Another translation says, strive to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. What is holiness? Holiness is keeping your life separate from sin and set apart unto the Almighty God. That's holiness, what we talked about, sacrificing self. All right? And he says here, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. What is he saying here in Hebrews 12, verse 14? That without holiness, no one will see the Lord. He's saying that if you live an unholy life, a life of selfishness and sin, when your day comes to pass from this earth, you may not see God if you die in an unholy state. So with God's help, we have to strive to live holy and righteous lives. And I'm here to tell you tonight, one last note. You cannot live a holy life in your own strength. You can't do it. But God will give you His strength and His grace. His empowerment. Is that making sense?